The Supreme Court term is winding down, officially drawing to a close at the end of June, which happens to be Tuesday. Appearing on the Nicole Sandler Show last Friday, the nation's justice correspondent Ellie Mastal explained that they don't have to release all of the decisions by the end of the term.
The court doesn't have to release all of its cases.
Oh, really? They can save some for next term? They can hold on to some and not announce decisions? Say they can decide not to rule on Trump's tax records, whether or not we have the right to see them?
They could.
Oh, shoot.
I mean, I don't think that they will, but it's technically completely within their discretion is to rule on a case when they have a ruling. Oh. If they don't know what they're going to do with Trump's taxes yet, if they want to wait until the next term, if they want to wait until after the election, there's nothing legally to force them to. They could, what's called relist, they could just decide to rehear the case. Hey, we're not sure which way they're going to go. Now, again, I don't think that that's going to happen. But I'm just pointing out there that when you see 13 or 14 cases that are supposed to come out in 2 days, just remember, all 14 of them do not have to legally come out in the next 2 days.
Wow.
The Supreme Court can do whatever the Supreme Court wants to do.
So could they conceivably announce some decisions in July, or would they have to wait till next term?
Yeah. It's a courtesy that the Supreme Court even tells us when they plan to release decisions.
Oh,
right?
My God.
They can release decisions at midnight on Friday if they want to. So, yeah, they could hold it to the law. Again, I don't expect that to be the case. I expect to see at least 10, if not all 13 or 14 of these cases in the next week. But they could, they could release them whenever they want to release them.
Well, the Supreme Court delivered just 3 of the remaining 13 decisions on Monday. First out of the gate was Agency for International Development versus the Alliance for Open Society International. The question decided was whether the federal government can require foreign affiliates of U.S.-based groups that receive federal funds to have policies expressly opposing prostitution and sex trafficking. The vote was 5-3, the opinion written by Brett Kavanaugh. Justice Kagan recused. Stephen Breyer dissented along with Ginsburg and Sotomayor. This decision reversed the Second Circuit Court, basically taking a restrictive view of the constitutional rights held by people outside the U.S. But things got considerably better 10 minutes later. The second case announced was a biggie, one we've been waiting for on abortion rights. June Medical Services versus Russo. The decision, written by Justice Stephen Breyer, was a very good sign. Then we learned Chief Justice Roberts had the concurring opinion. Whoa. June Medical is a challenge to the constitutionality of a Louisiana law requiring doctors who perform abortions to have the right to admit patients at nearby hospitals. It also questioned whether abortion providers have the right to bring the challenge on behalf of their patients. Bottom line is that the Louisiana abortion law was struck down in a 5-4 vote. What happened was the court reversed this Louisiana abortion law that opponents say would have closed all but one abortion clinic in the state and have lasting repercussions for reproductive rights across the country. Chief Justice John Roberts, obviously a key swing vote in the decision, dissented in another case, Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt. But he sided with the majority Monday in overturning the Louisiana law based on past precedent. In his concurring opinion, Chief Justice Roberts wrote, "The question today, however, is not whether Whole Woman's Health was right or wrong, but whether to adhere to it in deciding the present case." So while he's saying he disagrees with the law itself, he understands that this law had already been decided and there was precedent already set. Roberts and Breyer were joined by Justices Elena Kagan, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Sonia Sotomayor in the majority opinion. Justices Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, and Gorsuch dissented. And the third and final decision handed down on Monday was in the case Sila Law versus the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This was a challenge to the leadership structure of the CFPB, which features a single head removable only for inefficiency, neglect, or malfeasance. And the court, in a 5-4 decision written by Chief Justice Roberts, found that this leadership structure violates the separation of powers. So they struck down the single-member director structure, but by a 7-2 majority, held that the single-member provision can be severed from the rest of the statute. To put that in plain English, the immediate effect of CILA law is that the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau can be removed by the president without cause. But experts say that in actuality, there's no practical effect because the present head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is a Trump appointee because the last head voluntarily left of his own accord. But it also means that a newly elected President Biden could summarily dismiss Trump's appointed head of the CFPB immediately when he takes office in January of 2021. So that leaves 10 cases to be announced. The court has already said that they'll have more decisions on Tuesday morning. So we'll be waiting, beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern. I'm Nicole Sandler. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming on the Progressive Voices Network.